You figure out that God loves people?
Yes.
You figure that out? God loves people. We're not making sin acceptable when we say stuff like this, but while we were yet sinners, He sent His Son, and where sin abounded, grace abounded.
Yes.
We got to start there. We got to see our value there so we can run well. We got to start where He finished.
Yes.
You got to understand, is that just thunder in the Spirit? What? Is that some kind of prophetic recording trying to usher in more or something? What are you doing, man? It's the rumblings of heaven. Stand right about there because it's coming. It's right. No, just... Thank you, God. Is it my mic? What's up with my mic, man? You don't know? You can't take this from me. I own it. You can't give me a handheld. What do we need to do? It's all right. We ain't going to run the Holy Ghost out. He's way bigger than a rumble in a mic. Don't get distracted, guys. This ain't a show.
Yeah.
We just having family. It's not a show. See? We're just all right. Secure. Thank you, precious Jesus. Ain't I coming through? Thank you, God. Whoa! I was ready to slip into sin if that didn't work. I was going to say, I thought you loved me, Jesus. You know why He loves me? Do you know? Do you know why I know He loves me? He sent His Son. It's settled. This lady didn't sleep for 24 years without medicine. 24 years. No, it's all right. Stand up and wave to the crowd. Am I telling the truth? Huh? She didn't take no meds last night. She talked to the Father and she crashed. 24 years. Couldn't sleep without meds. Just went home and talked to him. Anybody else we prayed for last night? Anybody? You slept? You did? Isn't that awesome? You really going to sleep tonight. Maybe not. You might die. Morning will come. Noon will come. You are all right forever. Girl, yeah, see? You just think it could make you cry. I see it. I feel it. I see what God's doing in your life.
Yes.
I stood in front of you and I saw it. Forever changed, honey. It's all over. You're changed. Anybody else? A sleep thing we prayed for last night? Is there anybody here that we prayed for sleep last night? Who else is here that we prayed for? Be honest. Anybody? Was there change? Did you see change? Did you sleep? What's that? Debbie's been on sleep medicine for 7 years. Last night you didn't take none. And I'm not going to expose anything. But she was dealing with some things in her heart. She was getting some clarity last night. She was in a little turmoil about some things. The teaching kind of made her, put her in a, you know what I mean? And she got clarity, settled that, talked through some of that, went home. It makes your conscience clearer. It relieves your conscience. You crow in bed, you feel better about your directive, where your heart's positioned, where you're heading. There's just a whole benefit in getting in line with truth.
Yes.
And all of a sudden the turmoil, the controversy, the animosity seems to drift away. And all of a sudden you're just in a place of peace and God is good. Amen? And Mom, you slept too? Did you sleep too? Okay, good. Anybody else that we prayed for last night? That has a testimony. Is there anybody, be honest, that we prayed for last night? You went home and you couldn't sleep and you tried to not take your stuff and you had trouble and it was the same and you just had to take it. And anybody here? We prayed for a handful of people. Is there anybody here, be honest, that went home and didn't experience what we were believing for? It's important if you're here and I want to know because we're going to go after that thing. Wow, you ain't here. How many people here tonight were here when we prayed for you to come off that sleep stuff last night? Was it just the ones that we talked to? How many? How many were here last night and stood up when we prayed? How many? Did you all sleep last night? How'd it go? What happened? You had struggles? Okay. Did you feel about it? Did you step out in faith in this thing and talk to God? And do you take pills to sleep and stuff? Okay. Come here, man. Stretch your hands to this brother. He's amazing. Heaven knows this guy. Heaven knows you. He's done a good thing in your heart, man. We love you. Give me your hands. Let's pray for him, church. Begin right now to believe his back to be healed right now. Back be healed in Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Discomfort leaves from this day forward. When he crawls in bed, he doesn't struggle to find a comfortable position. God, he can lay any way he desires, any way his body prefers. I thank you, God. We thank you. The church thanks you for a son redeemed, a son restored. We thank you that tonight, God, we thank you and rejoice that he sleeps like he hasn't known since age 28. Now, we know that's only about a handful of years, but we thank you, God. You'll let him sleep. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen?
I love you, man. So everybody else that we prayed for last night actually slept and didn't take their stuff. Is that true? 24 years. 7 years. Whoa. I like that stuff. Come on. Isn't that beautiful? Did you hear that? They were in a restaurant, prayed for lady, blood disease. They went back later, saw her again. Later, she had been checked out. The disease wasn't even there. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. Forgive me. Not because he prayed right. Because he loved right. It's not what you pray that heals the sick, it's what you believe.
Yes.
So let's stop being so self-conscious and trying to get it right. Let's get it right. That's just simple, ain't it? We can all do that, isn't it? Simple. Well, I just love you guys and bless you guys. Man, I feel like we're at church. Good to be together. You know, I've been talking about love a lot, right? No big surprise, huh? Don't let it become rhetorical. Don't let it become just some household word. Love never fails because love doesn't seek its own. It doesn't take account of a suffered wrong. Love's sole attention is on the object that it's loving. It asks nothing in return. Love asks nothing in return. It's privileged to love. You and I, okay, I'm going to say it the way I hear it. It sounds weird. Don't forgive me, Lord. You and I were born into lovelessness. We were born into a lie. We were born into a self-centered world through the fall of man. It was called born into Adam, born of flesh. We thought for ourselves from the time we were born. The first thing little babies camp on is, no! Mine! Gimme! And they're precious. Babies are precious. But you don't have to teach them that. It's already there. You don't school your kids to be selfish. You try to tone it down because it's amazingly obvious from wee little. Two little two-year-olds get an eye on the same toy. One of them has it, the other one don't ever really want it. They just don't want them to have it. So they grab it and they start wrestling, yelling and squalling and making animal noises. Watch, it's possible. The parents don't fight. It's possible. And they don't raise their voice in the house, and they've never fought in front of the kids. They've never watched a movie and just sat there at age two and watched people fight. You don't have to teach them how to be self-fixed and focused. You don't have to teach them how to go, poof. It's already there. Good mothers have taken hits on that stuff. I don't know if they've done it to you guys, but they've come to me and said, "What am I doing wrong, Pastor? My little baby has an attitude, made a face at me today. Said, no. I haven't taught her no. How am I failing? What am I doing wrong? I mustn't be a good mother." It's that bad sometimes for these ladies. And I laugh and say, "Honestly, this isn't hype. You're probably the most amazing mother. Your child's just going to need born again someday. So model Jesus, live Him, and give them every reason to desire Him through your life. Don't take their selfishness personal, and don't get condemned and think you're a failure mother, because then you'll misrepresent the beauty of who He is. And you'll reduce the gospel to a doctrine you try to sell them and call them into. Win them through your love. Let them covet their mother's heart. Let them say, 'I want to be like that woman.'" And then when they get of age and accountable, they'd be on their bed one night and say, "Mommy, why are you so amazing? Why don't I see you mad like other people? Why don't you get so angry and ever just yell at me?" It's possible. You say, "Because of Jesus, honey. He taught me a long time ago to not live for myself. And He taught me a long time ago to love, and I value you. And just because you don't think you do everything right, your value doesn't change. Sweetie, you got great potential. And God has taught me His love through Jesus. And you've been taught God's love through me. And what an honor. Mommy, I want to be like that too. And I want to know Jesus that way. How can I be like you?" You can take my hand right now, sweetheart, and we can pray. "Have you ever done things that I ask you not to?" "Yeah, Mommy." "Have you ever done wrong when you knew to do right?" "Yeah." "Mommy, I respect you." "Yeah, I can tell." "How about if you get born again? How about if you ask Jesus to overtake your heart and life and give your life to Him and ask Him to wash you of everything you know you've ever done?" And she's only 7 years old laying there, and she's precious, but she knows she's done things she wasn't supposed to do. And you say, "And then we'll go down and fill the bathtub, and I'm going to put you under the water and baptize you, and I'll show you in the Bible where that is. And we're going to call that little girl that you remember dead. And when you come out of that water, the Spirit of God is going to come inside of you. And He's going to empower you. And you're going to be born again. And the nature you see in me is the nature that's going to be in you. I'm so proud of you, girl. You ready to pray?" "Yeah, Mama, I want Jesus." That's the gospel. It's not when you get 12, you go through a class and get baptized. Sorry. I'm not offending your denomination. We've gotten really strange with things. I'm sorry. That's the truth. It's real life. It's real living. It's lived by example. It's epistles written on the hearts of men. It's not doctrine. It's not form and function. What do we need to do, man? Was that the devil cast out, or did 7 more come in? What? Because I'll get a handheld. I can handle it. I know you probably don't believe I can handle a handheld. The sound man don't want me with a handheld. But if you need to run one up, give it up here. Get it up here. Let's do it. Let's get this thing off, man. Okay? Thanks, though. We'll get a little bit. I'm kidding. I would never. I don't even know how to shorten things for taco soup. It'll be there when we arrive. Ooh, if I was Todd right now. I can't do it, man.
Can you do it?
Come on, man. He said, one of these days, dude, we got to get up and I'll beatbox and you just rap. Just do it by faith. Can she really? And I laughed. Todd said, I would trip out just watching you rap. You got to rap. I was like, I can't rap, man. I can barely preach. I just talk. Amen. It's all living by example. Don't you teach yourself religion. Don't you just beat people with scripture and a Bible. Don't say to your kids, well, God saw that. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. Well, you need this and that. Don't throw the Bible around like that. Be the Bible.
Amen.
I'm serious. Don't you let religion sneak in and eat your lunch and you tell people what they need to do and ought to do and should do and be, and it hasn't even become you. We're going to love one another.
Praise God.
We ain't going to say, I need to, I ought to, you should be doing this. Well, if you were a Christian, you should this and this and this. Man, that doesn't change nobody. You don't just tell your kids what they need to believe. You give them a reason to believe by being impressed with your life.
Yes.
And even if they go on a little rebellious tangent, see, we don't like talking about that. Whose kids ever went on a rebellious tangent and you don't believe they had any reason to, they just decided to? I had two and I only got two. And they're both doing well today. Because truth doesn't change. And you don't fall apart when they take a turn. And you don't lose your identity and get shipwrecked and be a hurting parent. You prophesy. Proclaim truth, rejoice, and stay productive.
Yes.
And let Jesus bring them home.
Glory.
And you would be in position for when they arrive. And you got nothing to give them but love. You get it? My boy knocked on the door after not seeing him for months. 123 pounds and broken. And the thing that wrecked him the most is the way I looked at him and smiled and said, hey, buddy, good to see you.
Yes.
Undid him. He told his mom, it undid him. The way Dad received me and brought me in the house.
Yes.
And held me and released me. Said it undid me. What other response is there for us Christians? I guess we could say, well, where have you been? So now you have nothing and you want to knock on the door. Well, you broke me in mom's heart. What do you want now? You want to just break us again? What do we do? What do we do? Have a talk show and be the stars? Or do we let Jesus shine? Do we be living epistles written on the hearts of men? I'm not being mean. I don't know why I hear this so sober, but you don't have the gospel. Really have the gospel until you live that gospel.
Yes.
You don't know the word until you become it.
Glory.
I feel real serious about that phrase. Be careful how you respond to me tonight. I rarely feel animosity or contradiction in a room when I'm preaching, but I feel it. I don't know who you are, and it doesn't matter to me. That's why I'm looking down and up. You be very careful about the attitudes you possess, that they're not destructive and religious to your soul. Be very careful that you don't pride yourself in your opinion. But you're humbled by the capacity to love. If you're angry, if you're touchy, if people rub you, if you walk in a room and have first impressions, you don't know Jesus like you say. And it's time to fall on His mercy and ask Him to change that. I'm not being judgmental and condemning. I'm being real. It's time we address that stuff and say, it ain't normal. It wasn't who I was made to be. It's what I was taught to be by life. I don't know why I'm on this thing this strong. Forgive me. You okay? You're called and I'm called to be a living epistle.
Amen.
Your spouse could be failing miserably. That has nothing to do with your productivity. That doesn't mean you have to sleep with them in the moment. That doesn't mean you even have to live in the same house. But if you don't live in the same house, make sure you have a vision of restoration and a message of love. And make it real clear what you're doing.
Glory.
You're not just a hurting spouse breaking away. I'm telling you, this kind of counsel is lacking in the church. She did what? He did what? Oh, honey, you don't deserve that. Oh, baby, I don't know. You need to reconsider. You only got one life to live. Time's passing by, sweet. I don't know. You might just need to move on. It's demonic.
Amen. Amen.
If God thought like that, we're lost. Be real. If you want from God what you're not willing to become, you're lost. If you're making a plea for something you're not willing to become, it's totally self-centered and self-satisfying, and it's deceived. You want God to forgive you of everything you've ever done and believe it's possible, because that's the picture we paint of God. But you don't want to become that to men. That's deception. Matthew 18 calls it an evil and wicked servant that's bound in outer darkness and tormented. No wonder our souls spin sometimes. We're trying to get what we don't want to become. You don't know what they did to me. If God said that, we're toast. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Listen, you don't know what they did to me. That's a record. That's in your file cabinet. And they can never make up for it. They can only change. So why are you demanding they make up for it? Why aren't you positioned for them to change? What somebody did. They can't do different. But they can change. Why aren't you in position for them to change? Church, we can't afford to continue to let sin against us produce sin in us. We can't have a right because of flesh. We have a right because of Jesus. You can't let circumstances define your motivation. It's the truth that burns in your heart. Let me show you what Paul said about it. 2 Corinthians. So I'm just where I'm at, okay? I don't know how I get where I go. I'm on a journey with you all. I have no clue. It's not unpreparedness. I'm just in faith and position. I just pour out my heart. Are you guys okay?
Yes.
Can you tell I'm not spanking you? I'm not correcting you. I have no need to be right in your life. I didn't fly on a plane here to set you straight. I came here to cheer you on and show you who we are now that Christ came. I have no need to set you straight. That would be ridiculous. You'd need to minister to me. Somebody would need to sit me down and get me off a high horse or something. I have no need to be right in your life. Listen, get a grip on this. I'm going to get on a plane and leave, and I might not see some of you ever again, personally. But it matters to be here, and how you do from this point on means something to me. I'd just be at home with my family. I'm not here for an honorarium. He took an offering. That was his choice. But I told him I didn't come for an offering. I came for the kingdom. If he had never handed me an envelope, I wouldn't even blink. I got my own plane ticket. Yeah. Jesus flew me here. Is that true?
That's true.
For 7 years, I bought my own plane ticket to fly to churches. I've never turned in a receipt. I don't know why I'm telling you that. You don't even need to know that. Maybe you do. I don't do this for finances. This isn't a career. It's not a job. I'm a man of God and I love people and I'm fulfilling a calling and I'm privileged to carry the kingdom and minister the kingdom. I'm not trying to build one. I'm ministering one. I've never turned in a receipt. I've never asked for reimbursement. I've been in countless churches where behind the scenes I forbid to take an honorarium because God wanted to send a message and break sometimes a religious spirit. Rhetorical. Yeah, but a laborer is worthy of his hire. You didn't hire me. I'm here because I want to be. Don't be lame and pull a scripture out of the hat that doesn't fit.
Lord.
Yeah, but you're going to rob me of my blessing. Is that why you're giving to me to get blessed? Selfish thing. Don't give me a penny. I'm going to rob you of your blessing. That's impossible for me to rob you of your blessing. If you have a heart to give to me and I receive it, God's your heart's still before God. That's legalistic. And all of a sudden, the only reason we're given is to get. It's not even because we honor and love. I just don't teach the gospel that way. I'm sorry. And I don't live to make money. I live to see lives transformed.
Praise God.
Are you following me?
Praise God.
I don't know how I get in all that. I don't feel funny. But it's just the way it is. Is that true? I told him I'm probably as low maintenance as anybody you ever met. He grabbed my bag at the airport. Freaked me out. I said, what are you doing? He's big, man. He's like, I wasn't going to try to take my bag back. But I was like, give me my bag, dude. Give it back. He said, no, man, I got it. I said, man, if you weren't younger than me and you weren't so buff, I would knock you down and take my bag. People write me and say, I just want to travel wherever you go. I'll just do anything. I'll carry your bag. What is this with carrying my bag? Leave my bag alone. I'll carry my bag. Kids, they rob. Can you mentor me? I'll just carry your bag. You can come with me. Maybe it might work out. I don't know. Oh, I shouldn't have said that, man. I've done it, but I get asked so much, I don't even know how to handle it. But why would you carry my bag? Just come and glean. Come to me. You don't have to carry my bag. I'm okay carrying my bag. I'm sorry I'm on this tangent, but that to me is not a form of honor. That just gets weird to me. Leave my bag alone. They said, we just... Thanks, man. It worked, God. First time in life I ever projected from the pulpit. It hit it. No, I wasn't even thinking. But I did struggle with that, didn't I? Didn't I? Could you tell I was squirming? We took about 20 yards down the parking lot. And I said, dude, what are you doing? Give me my bag. He said, no, man, I got it. I love you, man. He wouldn't come back, Gary. I lost him. He was gone. So I had to follow him. I was ready to grab somebody else's bag. Put them in the same situation. I'm just messing with you. You know why we're having fun and laughing? Probably a sword's coming and we need some anesthesia. So you don't feel a thing. You'd be like, ha 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 ha. Are you bleeding? This is going to be serious, I can tell. This thing that's coming must be sharp, man. This is laughing gas, buddy. God might even pull the thing out, mess with it, and put it back in. You don't even know it. You leave. I don't know what happened, but I just changed. You were under the knife. 2 Corinthians 5. Come on, 2 Corinthians 5. Will you say we get on some truth? God, I love you. Don't be afraid to have fun. If you have trouble having fun, man. Jesus is fun. But the world's dying. The world's going to hell. He never told you to carry that kind of pressure and weight. You be responsive, you be sincere, you be serious, you lay down your life, but you can have fun all along the way and enjoy Him. You think I'm not sober? You think I'm not serious? You think I don't understand? Heaven's a blast. Jesus is Lord. You have to enjoy it and at the same time be serious and understand the big picture, but man, have fun. The Bible says it's joy unspeakable.
Yes.
Peace that surpasses what your ability to understand. It's called the joy of your salvation. John said, this relationship I'm writing to you about and what we have is the fellowship we have with God and His Son Jesus, and we want you to have it too, that your joy might be full. Don't be afraid to be joyful. And that's not just some weird ha 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 thing. That's your heart's elated with truth. You love life because you see it's a gift. You ain't letting that little window slip by. You're leaving a legacy that's going to speak forever. You got, guys, you got this one little window called life. Don't dread it. Don't fight with it. Don't just let it expire. Don't hide behind stuff. And don't let human wisdom eat you up. Don't be too wise in your own opinion, the Bible says. You got this one little window called life. One little window. It's a gift.
Yes.
But this one little window that doesn't even mark the map of eternity. It doesn't even show up on the big scale. This one little life that's here and gone, wisp and vapor. Doesn't even show up on the big picture scale. But that one little life will speak forever on behalf of the King. And be a testimony to His glory. And bring Him honor forever. A life surrendered. A life that understood. You good and faithful servant. Come on. You turn 2 into 4. You turn 5 into 10. You didn't bury what I gave you in the ground. It's a big deal to me. Come on in. And enter into your Master's happiness. You want that coming out of His mouth. You don't want to stand there and say, I know, Lord, I'm sorry, but I just could. Lord, you know what I went through. You know how people treated me. It started in school when I was little. You ain't going to be able to say that. You're going to look into His eyes and go, oops. Oops. I missed it. And His mercy will probably swallow you up. Oh, God's amazing. I ain't telling you you're going to hell. Kevin, we got this little window to be poured out like a drink offering and love people along the way.
Yes.
And guard our heart and be a steward and never let it get hurt and offended and angry and frustrated and prideful and opinionated. Let our love be sincere and without hypocrisy. This one little window. I saw Kevin whip into a parking lot and saw a familiar face he poured into. And, hey man, and the guy looked at his face and, oh, and tried to hide. It was an expression because that's how you feel because that's how he's living. And that's what he represents to the man. And he said, no man, hey, come out from behind there. Don't you hide. I love you, man. He said, what's going on, man? He said, come here, man. I'm praying for you. And the guy burst out and cried. He just held him like a baby. Just pray. That's the Holy Ghost, man. He loves you.
Yes.
I like that. It's just too easy to drive by. But watch this. It's just too easy to stop. I drive down the road when you're not looking. Because I'm not a performer. I'm not a ministry-minded guy. I'm just real. And I'm at my best when you're not there. I really am.
I'm at my best when they hook the seatbelt and the plane leaves. And they say, how are you, man? And now I have to tell them. I'm just at my best. Because I'm not all bummed out and wigged out by flight times. And am I going to make my connection? And my life's not my own. I'll get home soon enough. I'm already home, in a sense.
Praise God.
Yeah. My life's not my own. I'm not all wigged out by all that stuff.
Oh, my flight's delayed. Oh, my God. God, where's your grace in my life? Where's your mercy? I thought you loved me. What'd I do wrong to deserve this? That stuff comes in Christians' thoughts and minds.
And you tell the devil to keep messing with you because you don't get it. And he says, cool. Poof, geez, poof, and you go, poof. That's what happens, I'm telling you. Your flight gets delayed and you just smile and say, oh, well, it is what it is. Somebody else is going to have to sit beside me in a chair for a while. I'll drive down the road back home. And I've done this a handful of times. I don't tell a whole lot of testimonies anymore. There's a power in them, but people attach to them, and then everybody won't. Man, it just gets funny. But I pull over the car because I'm not doing it for a testimony. I'm not doing it so I have something fresh to preach. I do it because of love. Some of us won't even think of stopping our car to pray for the sick. It's not. I'm not condemning you. We think that's radical Christianity. Jesus, innocent Jesus, dying for guilty humanity is radical. An innocent Jesus made guilty so a guilty humanity can become innocent. That's radical. A just Jesus dying unjust willingly, that's intense. That's extreme. Me parking a car to pray for somebody is simple to understand now that I see that. And you'd be amazed how people think. You'd hop out of your car, you circle around the car, and you say, hey, hey girl, how you doing? Don't be afraid. I noticed you're hurting. What's going on? Oh, blah, 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 blah. Why? Are you a doctor? Well, no. There's one that lives inside of me. Listen, honey, I'll be real since you asked. I just stopped because I care about you. I don't know you. But I know Jesus loves you. I'm a Christian. I'm going to be honest. I stopped to pray for you. I'm trusting God's going to move. I believe you can be healed right here on the sidewalk. Wait a minute. You parked your car to pray for me? Why not? That's simple, honey. You're precious. You're worth the blood of Jesus. But wait a minute. That you stopped your car just to pray for me. Honey, don't think that's radical. Jesus died for us, gave His life for us willingly, deserved nothing that He got, but He took it freely to bring disgrace on the earth. That's radical. Me stopping to pray for you is a given. And she's like, and he's like, and they're like, huh. Now let's get it on. You get it? I can't tell you how many people say, you stop to pray for me? You stop, man, to pray for me? Dude, what, you stop? Why not? People, why would you do this to me? Why wouldn't I? I think we asked the wrong questions. Why would you do, why wouldn't I? I seen a homeless man going up the alley like this. I didn't know he was homeless. He's two blocks away. I just knew. I thought he had a cast on his foot. I was wrong. He had no shoe. He just had material wrapped around his foot, a big old winter sock wrapped over it. And his foot was oozing and messed up because he didn't have no shoe. I ran two blocks. I was parked and I said, I can catch him. You just ain't running from me. I chased a lady on a motor wheelchair. That baby was flying. Must have had a fresh, fresh battery. I chased that lady in our city for 2.5 blocks. I got stuck in traffic. She made it through and she was losing me. I said, God, I got to go 2 more blocks. I'm going to get her now. I had incentive. It was kind of a competitive thing. Now I ain't losing her. I caught up to her. It's good I'm a jogger. I wouldn't have been able to minister. I'd be like... I told her, I've been chasing you. I said, girl, that thing flies. She said, yeah, this is a good one. I said, no, girl, that thing's amazing. I said, what kind of motor you got in that thing, man? I said, girl, I chased you from Beaver Street. You chased me? From Beaver Street. I was getting close, and the cars cut me off, and you made it through. And they waited for you, but they saw me coming. They just drove by. Wait, pal. And I couldn't get through, and I finally caught you. She said, why were you chasing me? What did I do? Why would you chase me? Are you kidding? I wanted to find out why you're in this wheelchair, and I wanted to bless you and pray for you and believe the Spirit of God and His favor would come upon you. You chased me from Beaver Street to pray for me? Are you kidding? You're a pearl of great price. They don't even know how to handle that stuff. I ain't giving her a church card. I'm not trying to get her to our service and telling her she better give 10% if she comes. I didn't even tell her my name. There ain't nothing in it for me but the blessing of loving her. Love is freedom.
Yes, it is.
It asks nothing in return. The blessing in it is giving it. I watched every symptom of rheumatic arthritis come out of her body. I watched her stand up and walk in the alley and cry. It was worth a 4-block run. Whoopee. I ran up to this homeless man. I didn't know he was homeless, guys. This is an emotional story. I tell it from time to time. It's going to make you cry. Are you ready? There's going to be a response in it from our hearts. You ready? Because it's in my heart to tell this story. You guys all right? I ran up to him and I said, hey, man, how are you doing? And I looked and I said, man, I thought you had a cast on. Is your foot okay? That ain't a cast. He looked at me. I could tell he'd been drinking. He said, no, man, that's no cast. That's my shoe. That's your shoe? He said, yeah. He picked up his other shoe and the whole sole from toe to heel was opened wide and hung down when he lifted his foot. And he put it back on the ground. He's walking with that thing. And he's dragging this foot with a bunch of socks and material wrapped around his foot. I looked at his pants. He's covered with human feces. It's smeared on his pants. And he just looks worn, man. He looks like a product of the unfairness of life. The church says, well, he's drinking. His bottom put him in that place. He shouldn't be drinking. Oh, knock it off. You don't even know what he's going through. You don't even know the lies he's believing. You don't even know why he's drinking. Stop being so religious. But did Jesus ever come to you and say, you need to stop this, you need to stop that, maybe I'll consider you? No, while you were yet a sinner, he saved you, and then we forget that. There was one thing righteous about you the moment before the Spirit of God came into you. The blood just spoke. Pastors talk this way, man. They're like, well, he put himself in his own boat. He's just reaping what he's sowing. If he put away that stupid bottle, he wouldn't be ruining his life. Probably has unforgiveness. He's just mad at the world. He's hiding behind that bottle. Oh, you insensitive, misunderstanding person that needs help. Look, I'm not mad at you. I'm just telling you that's a shame if that's the best we can do as the church. We have failed miserably. The story's going to get you. I looked at him and I said, listen. I said, you're homeless, man. That's obvious. He said, yeah. I said, you're drinking a lot. You're hitting the bottle hard, ain't you? I said, you've learned to make a way, get away from people and get stuff. But you hit that bottle hard. He said, I have a problem, man, with drinking. I've been drinking since the 60s. I said, dude, that's crazy, man. How's your body even holding up? I said, do you want any help? Is there any way I can help you? Do you want to stop drinking? I can't. I tried. I said, God loves you, man. I said, listen, I got to go preach right now. I got to go do something. I'm on a time schedule. I made a commitment. I said, do you live close to here? I know you're homeless. I'm not being smart when I say, do you stay and hang out close? He said, I'm usually right around here. This guy, it's been getting cold, and he lets me stay over here. And yeah. Why? I said, because I'm coming to get you in the morning. What do you mean? You meet me right here. I'm going to pick you up. We're going to get you some stuff. What? What do you mean? I'm going to get you some stuff, man. I'm going to put some shoes on your feet. We're going to get socks. We're going to put some pants on you. We're going to get you stuff. You would do that for me? Are you kidding? Why would you do that for me? Wrong question, friend. Why wouldn't I? You're a human being.
Yes.
Friend, you're not doing well. You need somebody to love you and help you for a minute. You be here, I'll get you in the morning. I'll give you my word. The only reason I ain't going to be there is if somebody kills me. I'm coming. I didn't tell him that. That's what I'm getting across to you. If you give a man your word, you be there. You don't say, oh, well, something came up. And then you teach them what the gospel isn't. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Anything else? The evil one. It's in your Bible, Matthew 5. Read it. I went back next morning, couldn't find him. I looked for him. I searched for him. I took a little walk. I found him. I said, hey. Hey, buddy. I couldn't find you. You were supposed to wait for me. He said, you came back. He's surprised. I didn't think you would come. I didn't think you'd really come. Are you kidding me? I told you I would come. Look, I'm sorry men have broke your trust. I'm sorry men have said one thing and done another. But that don't mean every man's the same.
Yeah.
I told you I'd come. And I'm here. Now get in my car. Why? We're going to Walmart. We're going to bless you. What? Why would you do that? You asked me that yesterday. Why wouldn't I? I said, dude, you don't understand the gospel at all, do you? Well, let me explain. The whole way to Walmart, I'm teaching him the gospel. His name was Billy. I get to Walmart, you should have seen it. It's like the Red Sea split and he's coming through the aisle. And people don't even know what to do with him. Church folks are appalled by him. They overwhelmed by him. Church folks, I'm telling you, you pass a lot of folks in Walmart. Don't you tell me a lot of them ain't going to church somewhere. Like I was in Alabama, they probably all going to church somewhere. Because it's the Christian thing to do. But when you in Walmart and you see that man coming, no, that ain't what you do. Look, I can't clothe every single homeless man I ever bump into. But we can all have a Billy in our life at some point in time. I'm walking him back the aisle and I said, check out these pants, man. What size do you wear? Wow, you're going to get me these pants? Yeah. I said, go in there and put them on. Take them nasty things off, man. We're getting rid of them things. I'm taking his clothes and I'm bundling them things up. We got to the shoe department, man. Put on socks and wrap all them nasty rags off that oozy foot. I ain't afraid of that stuff. I found a young man pushing the garbage can. I said, dude, come here. Is that fool? No, almost. Why? I got some nasty stuff back here. I want to get rid of it. I don't want to offend customers and freak nobody out. I said, I brought this homeless man in. I just met him yesterday afternoon. And I said, I want to bless him. I went, you don't know him? I just met him. You getting him all that stuff? I said, yeah, he's 18, this kid. He says, why would you do that? I said, that seems to be the going question in his mind. Let me ask you a question, friend. Why wouldn't I? He's a human being in trouble. He said, the kid, 18. Whoa. Awesome, man. Popped the lid, picked all that nasty stuff up, got rid of it. He put these red and black starter sneakers on. You should have seen him. He had a little swag to him. He's like, man, I got new kicks. I got new pants. Got a new shirt. Got new understuff. So we're walking. He's like, man, I got all the receipts. That's an honor. I passed by this stuff. It was clothes. It was like khaki pants and stuff. And he went, wow. He held him up like a little kid. Wow. Sir, I really like these. Do you think it's too late for me to put these back and just get these? I said, you really like them? I said, Billy, you're homeless. Can you take care of them? Can you like take them with you? Like if you just get them too? How about if we just get them both? He went, both? Yeah, man, let's get both. See, if you don't understand Jesus, you're going, well, why are you even doing this? He's going to soil them in a day. He's going to drink another bottle. He's going to be drunk in the morning. And you have no clue how the kingdom works. You don't understand sowing. You don't understand watering. You don't understand reaping. You've been blinded by religion. Well, I'm bringing it. You all right? You agree so much with me. You live this. So I get up to the counter and the lady's at the register and I said, hey, listen, I brought this guy and I hope I didn't cause a problem. I got all the receipts. I promise you everything's up and up. He's wearing everything. He was homeless. I met him. I brought him in just to help him. You don't know him? I said, no, I want to get these things for him. So we just put it on. I hope I didn't. No, that's not a problem. She said, you're going to buy all this stuff for him. And she got all this. She said, why would you do that? Now watch how sharp this lady was. Watch how powerful truth is. I said, honey, he's been asking me that. A young employee of yours asked me that. And now you're asking me that. I'll tell you what I told them. Why wouldn't I do that? He's really in need right now. She said, whoa, watch. That's amazing. If everybody thought like that, the whole world would change. I said, ah! Ah! I said, honey, you just got in 10 seconds what I travel the country and try to preach and establish in 3 days. You got it! Be it! Woo! Did you hear what she said? Come on, you're everybody. Don't live for yourself. Don't hoard things. Don't just live for an IRA. Don't just live for retirement. Live for love. Lord. It says if you have something you see someone needs, how can you have love? It's shut up in you if you can't help them and you actually have it.
Hallelujah.
Come on. We've lost sight of church being community. We all come from different areas. We're all working our own jobs. Got our own plans. Got our own homes. Our own budgets. Next thing you know, we got to plow ground just to finance things and get money out of folks. That's what churches get driven into. I'll never do that. But I've seen it. We lost community. We've lost one mind, one heart, one spirit. We've lost just one pot where everybody just gave what was theirs unto God and that it was distributed as those had need. We can't do that now because, well, some people are scamming. Some people are using and enabling. I understand that. But you can have a Billy in your life at some point, sometime.
Amen.
You can pick up a man and just take him to breakfast.
Lord, yes.
I told Pastor that there's somebody going through cars last night. I came out to lead prayer. We used to do a 6 o'clock prayer in the morning on Saturday because we figured, man, those people that want to pray are coming. 6 o'clock. You can slip in before an extra day of work or something. 6 o'clock doesn't seem right. Early. Rooster crowing. We're praying. So I go out to my car at 20 of 6. I'm the pastor. I'm going to go turn on the lights, get a little music playing. I'm going to walk the floor a little before anybody comes. And shabba, 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 right? And I come out to my truck and I pop open my door. And some kid comes jumping out shocked. He goes, "Whoa, man. Sorry, man. I got in the wrong car, man. I'm in a private driveway. I mean, it's not posted private, but it's my driveway. I don't live in the city. It ain't a parking lot. It's my wife's car and mine sitting there. I'm up along the house. He's in my truck." I said, "No, dude, don't play that. Come on, man. You've been using. You passed out in there. You were rummaging my truck. Don't play me. Don't just come on. Don't play charades. Stop it." I said, "You ain't in the wrong truck. You might have got in the right truck." Because I said, if I didn't have the heart I did, I just might beat you down. I did. I messed with it. I said, "You ain't even that big, dude. You don't even look intimidating. And you going around in trucks and passing out? Somebody bad's going to come and open a door and knock you out. Dude, you got in the right truck. Because you're going to get breakfast. You're going to a prayer meeting, and I'm going to drive you home." That's exactly how it was, man. And I told him, "I love you. I'm not mad at you. You're in trouble. You got a mess going on, and you're addicted, and it's driving you to do things you're not created for. And it's going to get you in trouble, and you're young, man. How old are you? 19? 19, and you passed out in my truck. Rummaging, stealing what's not yours. Come on, dude, you're 19. Your life's way more than that. You got a long road in front of you. No, it's time for change, dude." I took him for a good hot breakfast. I took him to prayer meeting. And I took him home. And I held him like a son and prayed for him. And I wrote down information on how to get help. And I left him be a steward of that truth. And I just said, "God bless you." And I drove away. Sometimes that's what you do. You sow seed. Somebody comes along, drops a little water on it. God comes and brings increase. The kingdom of God is as if a man scatters seed. Goes to bed at night, wakes up and goes, "How do you do that, God?" Back to Billy. I get him in my car. The lady said, "If the whole world thought like that, if everybody thought like that, the whole world would be changed. God!" So I'm driving Billy down the road. Got a little intense. I got some discernment on his life. I got some inside information. Oh, man, it rattled Billy a little bit. Got some tears to come up out of him that just weren't there. I said, "I know what's going on with you. I see a picture, man." I started talking to him. "That's a tragedy, man. You've been scammed. You think you're winning, and you've lost big time, man. Come on, you can't think that this is the right response to that hardness, to that unfairness, to that hurt." And I'm talking to him. "You're more than this, Billy."
He said, "I just don't know why you care so much. I don't know why you did this for me."
I said, "I told you the gospel. I live the gospel. Jesus did the same thing for you." And I'm talking to him. I said, "Look at me, man." And he wouldn't look at me. He didn't look at me in the eyes the whole time that we had been together. But he did receive the clothing. And I said, "Man, you're this and this, and you've been going and this going on." And he started to get emotional. And he turned to the window. I got my hand right on his shoulder. I was praying some stuff. A bit of heavenly language come out of me. Shabba. We're driving and he's uncomfortable because he wants to cry and he doesn't want to cry, but he wants to cry. He doesn't want to cry. This is powerful. We get in town and I pull up to the intersection. I said, "Listen, man, it's been a joy meeting you and I'm honored to have this little moment in your life. I don't know if I'll ever see you again, Billy. But I can honestly tell you, I love you with all my heart and I'm blessed to be able to help you in this season. I said, but right now you're going to have to jump out of my truck. because I need to go preach to some teenagers that are expecting me any minute, and I kind of ran over time with you. I'm going to cut her close. I need to go because I got to go preach to them kids. And he just sat there and didn't move. I said, Billy, you got to go, man. Don't take it personal. I love you. But you got to get out of my truck. I'm running late. I got to get to some kids. I could tell he was uncomfortable. And he's looking back and forth, and he wasn't getting out. And he kind of shook his head like this, Kevin. And he went back and forth, and he kind of took a breath and went and looked me right in the eyes. He said, you know, I think I can say, I love you. And the Spirit of God came in my truck and said, see, Dan, no one loves me first unless they see my first love. And my people are telling him to change. And I've anointed them to love. And here's what he said. You keep loving the world. You keep loving the world. You keep loving. And I'm going, Billy, get out of my truck, man. I gotta go, man. God began to father me and destroy religious lies and show me what he really is like. A whole life of lies. A whole life of hurt, driven to homelessness, believing he's living at the expense of men, playing charades, usury, avoiding the country, taxes. I'll just make my living from what I hate, people. That was what was in his heart. A whole life of bitterness. A whole life of deception. And 1.5 hours with Jesus in me. He looked me in the eyes and mustered up the grace and strength and said, I think I can say I love you. Religion says, what a big deal is that? He's going to get drunk tonight anyway. Oh, you low level of understanding, you. Stop boasting in your shallowness. People say, what's the use of somebody getting healed if they don't get saved? God have mercy on you. But did you lead him to the Lord? I gave him the Lord. Religion is wretched. And it's proudly tucked in the hearts of some folks that say they know him. And it ain't true. You know them by their love. It says, if God loved us this way, ought we not love one another? I just met a man that was crying, a young man that was crying. He cried to me on the plane. We got talking. It happens, I talk now and then. He actually asked me how I was doing. He started it. Turned out he was a fine young Christian man, but he was in this area that he goes down to and hangs out at times because he wants to reach out and touch the community. It's turning into what people call gay community. And he just wants to find a way to practically love and shower him with some things. And he gets down there and all these Christians are standing on the corners with signs, God hates fags, repent. And he just cried because he felt like he had no access to them now because he says he's a Christian and that's what Christians are. He tried to talk to the people, and then the people are like, well, they need to repent. They're going to hell. Don't you care they're going to hell? You got to point out their sin. You got to show them they're wrong. And he said, man, I don't get it. No, I don't see that in Jesus. He asked Zacchaeus to come down to the tree. I'm going to your house today. He asked Matthew to follow him and went to his house and ate. Caught a lot of flack from religion. He was called a wine bibber. friend of sinners and tax collectors. The church didn't get it. Something new and fresh came and they didn't get it. Be careful you're not following that same lie. They're holding signs representing the church. God hates fags, repent. Boy, that's going to do a lot. God help us. And this kid had a heart cry because he said, how do I... And I felt like God gave me an answer. I said, you go in there and you talk to them and you apologize for the misrepresentation that has nothing to do with your heart. And you're being bold. It's not that you have an agreement or an acceptance with certain lifestyles like that, that Scripture has precedence, but you're not throwing people out. You're not. You don't have to be afraid of enabling. The church thinks that we're coming to agreement if we don't address it right away. When I met Todd, he was living with his girlfriend. I didn't even talk to him about it. There was a time to at some point, but I didn't even talk to him about it. He had enough issues going on. I figured his growth in God was going to show him that. That God himself would point that out. And all of a sudden Todd said, I can't live with Jackie. This isn't right. I can't go back there. He told Jackie, something changed in me. I can't live here. She said, well then why don't we get married? He said, you'd marry me after all I've put you through? She said, I believe you're changed. So I did their wedding between services, early and late service, in the transition. And Jackie's family stood there and bawled when I married him because they were upset and mad. And said, I can't believe you're marrying him. All the hell he's put you through. This is the stupidest thing you've ever done. And I'm standing there waiting to marry them.
Are we ready now?
Todd got up and sang a cappella. Who am I? That the Lord of all the earth. And he just sang it out. And we cried and Jackie bawled. And her family was already bawling. I now pronounce you. Men went, it was crazy. His father-in-law came up and said, you don't fool me. You're a loser and you're always going to be. You can't fool me. He said, I'm sorry, Dad. Don't call me Dad. No, I'm really sorry, Dad, and I love you. Don't tell me you love me. Well, I'm just telling you, you'll see. That's all you'll see. 4 years later at Thanksgiving, he's ready to pray over the meal. His family said, Todd, would you bless the meal? And when he's ready to pray, his father-in-law said, stop, wait, Todd. I need to make a confession to the family. I was wrong about you. I judged you on wedding day. I was bitter. I was mad that you hurt Jackie so bad. And I thought you were a liar. I thought you were a scammer. I still thought you were the same. I was wrong. People do change. Please, in front of everybody, please, Todd, forgive me for judging you. He cried and said,
I just love you, Dad. It's okay. I wasn't hurt. I love you. I'm glad you see that. Father, bless this time. Thank you for the food. Amen.
That's Todd. He wasn't like, yay, he finally sees. Woohoo. It's like, that's cool. Man, I'm glad you see. Thanks for your humility. Awesome. I love you too, Dad. Why? Because the whole time he's not losing anything personally, his heart's just crying for him. And he's glad he's changed. Story after story like that because of the gospel. I'm closing now. I'm sorry. Give me 5 minutes. I'll close.
That's not funny, man. Dude. That was profuse, man. You were like, that was like somebody cracked a real joke, man. I have scarred the body of Christ. I'm here to bring freedom. And I've scarred you all. I say I'm closing and you laugh. God, help me to be vindicated and redeem this thing. Make them all repent in a moment, God. Actually, I'm probably laughing with you, man. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever that means. Somebody came to me one time and said, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah, they were real serious. They said, what does in just a minute mean? I said, in just a minute. In another minute, it's a minute, in a minute.
doesn't matter how many go by, but in a minute. So I said, okay, look, I'm going to wrap up in a minute. That doesn't mean 60 seconds. It just means in a minute. So when I wrap up, it's within that minute. Look, if I say I'm going to stop by 9:30, I didn't say a.m. or p.m. Why do you guys hold me so technical? Where's the grace of the kingdom? Come on, man. Lighten up. Don't be legalistic with me. If I say I'm wrapping up at 9:30, don't walk out at 9:35. I got 11 hours and 55 minutes. It's that long until I've missed it. Because I didn't say p.m. I just said 9:30. You guys are hard on me, man. 2 Corinthians 5. You all right? You guys all right? I'm having so much fun with you guys. Thanks for, seriously, I'm not saying this in a weird way. Thanks for letting me come and be here with you guys. Here, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm being real here. I'm not asking you to respond. I'm just, thanks for your hunger that I perceive in this house every time we gather. Thanks for your sincerity. Thanks for what you're letting God do in your lives and in this area. It really matters. Your life matters so much because you possess a sphere of influence. You're salt and you're light. So in that sense, you have the ability to influence. That means you're a leader, not just a follower. Light is greater than darkness. And light is in you. That means you are influential. Leadership and the ability to influence go hand in hand. It's the best definition of leadership, the ability to influence. So if you're salt and light, then you're not just a follower, you're not just a protege, you're a leader within your sphere of influence because there's light in you. Do you see how important your individual life is to the sphere of influence in which you live and function? Do you see that the amount of faces that I'm looking at tonight, even though it's not earth-shattering and record-breaking numbers, it's enough, it's an army, if every one of us walk in love, if every one of us understand why we're created and begin to function within that sphere of influence and mark the hearts of men and invest in them with sowing and watering, things would change dramatically within community. You would touch people that have just been touched. All of a sudden, it wouldn't be uncommon to unconditionally love, to reach out and get involved with somebody. You get it? I don't know about you, but it's a big deal when Billy says, I think I can say I love you. Yes. And God says, see, Dan, nobody loves me first. You don't tell Billy to love God, serve God, clean up and get to church. He sees God's love and it begins to wreck him and change him. And it might take a week, it might take a month, it might take 6 months. Wonder if it doesn't even change him. It's right to love him and give him the opportunity for change. Why are we so conditional when God's love is unconditional? I prayed to God to send me to the mission field once because I was a little frustrated with the church in America and didn't realize it. See, God's brought me through all the stuff I preach. I was praying to go to the mission field. And I said, God, I want to go to somewhere that's hungry, a place that I'll lay down my life for, a place that desires you and hungers for you, God. And I'm ready to go. It doesn't matter what country, the food. And it sounded sincere and you would have thought, this guy's for real, man. If you'd have been a fly on the wall, you'd have thought, whoa. God wasn't impressed when I was done praying. He said, so, you lay down your life for the hungry. I was like, yeah. He said, Dan, my son laid down his life for those who despised and rejected him. You get your heart in agreement with my son and we'll talk about these things. He said, the only reason you want to go to the mission field deep in your heart, you're discouraged with the church you're pastoring and you believe they're selfish and don't appreciate righteousness. You've projected on them and your heart's got a sore spot and now you just want to go to somewhere else and avoid the reality of how you feel towards them. He said, Dan, if I let you go to mission field, it's a wrong inspiration. It's not a calling. It's aroused by your discouragement. And if I let you go to the mission field and wouldn't show you this, I'd move there because I'm faithful and love people, but it would be to your demise, because every time I'd move, you'd look back at what you're mad at in spite and judge it, and your heart would get hard as I'm moving in that country. And you'd be a proud and deceived man. And I love you too much. I'm your father. And I bawled and bawled and bawled and said, God, thank you for loving me. He said my desire to go to the mission field was fueled by disappointment. How many ministries have started fueled by disappointment? How many ministries have started fueled by the inability to agree and make peace? How many people have surrounded that with the words of God called and God this and God that? And honestly, sometimes we just couldn't get along and couldn't fit. So now we cast a ship out on the water that God didn't launch. And now we got to struggle more than anything just to keep that thing on the water. Let alone get to the other side. If God launches that ship, it's going to float and go through every storm.
Read your Bible.
Verse 13, 2 Corinthians 5. For if we're besides ourselves, it's for God. If we're of sound mind, it's for you. You see that sometimes I feel besides myself and let it out just a little. But I'm of sound mind because I'm here to teach and impart, right? For the love of Christ, watch this. The love of Christ. The love of Christ compels us. We've got to see the love of Christ. Compels is a word that's amazing. It's like, I mean, there's a lot of different definitions you could use, but I like to say it, the compelling, it's like the fuel in your tank. It's what makes the motor run. The love of Christ is what fuels my tank and makes my motor run. It's the love of Christ that keeps me trucking. It's the love of Christ that empowers me to sleep, what, maybe 5 hours last night, teach 10, 1, 7, run 4 miles in between, and just have a blast the whole time and feel right now like I'm really pumped. That's the love of Christ. It compels me. There's people involved all the time. It compels me. Watch. The love of Christ compels me. Why? Because we judge something. We judge? Yeah, we discern something. If one, being Jesus, if one died for all, then all died. Uh-oh. If one died for all, then all died. We say, well, not everybody received Jesus. Not everybody's ready to repent. No. The price was paid for all. When He died, we died with Him. And the price for sin was paid for. And God looks through mercy, through the blood, and sees every man for potential and destiny and value. Yes, a man needs to repent. Yes, a man gets saved. But one died, all died. And the price was paid for eternal redemption, salvation, and everlasting life. True? Come on. True? Yeah. So if one died, then all died. Watch. And He died for all. That those who live, He died for all, but some are living. Why? Because they've repented, received the kingdom, surrendered their life. Right? That those who live, listen to purpose. That those who live should get their name in the book of life. No! He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but Him who died for them and rose again. Now watch. Therefore, because this is true, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. If one died, all died. So no longer do we look with outward observation. No longer do we read a book by the cover. No longer do we judge a man according to his performance. If one died, all died. And no longer do we regard a man according to the flesh. That means what he appears to be. We see every man for his potential and his destiny. Glory. Period. Billy has destiny. Billy has purpose. He might be elderly and homeless and body might have took a toll and he might not even be around for 8 more years. Who knows? But I'll tell you what, those 8 years can be redeemed and magnify God and swallow up 40 years of deception. You don't judge according to the flesh. You don't decide who you like and who you don't. That's called the fall of man. That's not your privilege. That's the lie. You don't walk in a room and gravitate to those you're comfortable with and avoid those you can't figure out. That's called cliques. It's called the world. Sometimes God assigns you to people that challenge you and brings the best out in you. Makes you real so you don't teach yourself religion. Yeah. Oh, I'm on it, buddy. If he died for all, then all died. And if we who live because he died, then we no longer live for ourselves but him who died. And therefore, we who are alive never again judge any man according to his face value. We see every man for his potential. It does not take a man of God to find the fault in another man. It takes a man of God to look past that and see the potential. No one has ever mined for gold and not got dirty in the process. Write that down. I'm going to preach it. You can use it too. You can. Who's ever mined for something precious in the ground and didn't get dirty on the way? Sometimes you've got to snatch men out of the fire. Sometimes you've got to save with compassion. But the bottom line is we love people. And everyone's worthy of the blood because God says so. It's not contingent on their response. It's contingent on love. Did Jesus? Yeah, I love you too. Hi, bud boy. Yeah, I'm wrapping up. I caught the interpretation. That was between me and you, bud. Yeah, okay, he's clapping now. He said, dude, I'm going home. He's wrapping up. See, he's innocent. He believes me. He's a child, guys. You guys are corrupt in your innocence, man. You need to learn from that boy. Go get him to lay hands on you. I said, look, I'm wrapping up, and he's still clapping. He don't know how to think no different. I'm on it now. Oh, look, I'm done. I'm in so much trouble. That's awesome. Yeah, little buddy. Look, I'm just going to quit. No, I'm done. What time are we meeting tomorrow? What time service tomorrow? Somebody asked me. 10 o'clock. King Opera House. I say, yeah. And I'm real good on a Sunday setting. I really am. I actually am well behaved because I understand the children, the serve and stuff. I'm really behaved. Open services is freedom, man. He told me go as long as you want. I said, I like you, dude. But it's not about staying here all night. It's about getting something and applying it and becoming it. Every time you gather, come with purpose. Don't just come with need. Come with purpose. You might have need. It's not wrong to have need, but come with purpose. Come to hear Him. Come to be more like Him. Come with the desire to look more like Him because you came. Because you only come here, but you live there. Look, it's become easy to go to church, sing Holy, Holy is the Lord, and have animosity in the car over where we're going to eat lunch. I'm being real. That shouldn't even be possible. Well, you always get your way. Well, when do I get to pick where we're going to eat? Well, we ate where you wanted to last week. And you're doing that with your wife and your husband. And no wonder your kids do that. Man, if you at least didn't do that, even if they're tempted and that nature's in them, they'd at least get the message. You teach people selflessness. You teach people not to live for their own thing. This is a tragedy to me. Where you're holy, holy. Jesus, my life is yours, all yours. I just made that song up. And then you get in the car and fight with your family with animosity because you ain't eating where you'd rather. Don't teach yourself religion. Who cares where you eat? Be blessed that you're in America and there's food everywhere. Everywhere. We get so spoiled. Now it ain't the right food. Rather eat here. You ought to be blessed that you got food everywhere. You can go to the supermarket and there's food everywhere. It ain't like that all over the world. Don't you let America spoil you and steal your thankfulness. Come on. Look, we ain't mad at this country, but it's a blessing, but don't let it ruin you. Appreciate it and be humble and thankful that you live here. Appreciate it. I don't know why I'm saying that, but I'm on that thing. So we're not going to regard any man according to the flesh. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's do this in closing. I didn't talk about healing, but in a sense I did, because God loves. And here's why people can be healed, because of the forgiveness of sins. God forgave the sins of humanity. And the fall of man has been quenched and silenced. You say, well, then why am I sick? Things happen. We're in a war. There's an enemy on the earth. Let's keep fighting the battle. Let's keep fighting the good fight of faith. You know why it's a good fight? Because we're called to win. Come on, it ain't a good fight growing up when you got busted up. When you came out of that thing, black eye, big old bubble lip, and you looked at him and he had two black eyes and two bubble lips, it was a good fight. He said, I might look bad, but you all see that dude, man. I tore him up. It was a good fight, man. But you come out of that thing with two bubble lips and two black eyes and he got a little scratch on his forehead. That ain't a good fight, man. The good fight of faith is because we're called to win. Faith is the position of your heart to believe what he accomplished. Faith isn't a point in time. You're not trying to have faith. You're revealing you don't. Faith works through love and he loves us, period. So we can believe for one another. Amen? So I want y'all to pray for each other. Not let's pray for the sick in this house, okay? Before we walk out of here. And if you guys slip out, you slip out. But can we pray for the sick? You guys all right? Yeah. A thing we did during worship, that was good. You let me come up there and give me freedom to go with it. And I just saw something right away. That's why we prayed for them folks. That was fun to me. Yeah. I had a little fun with that. I got to sing a little and prophesy. I just float a little. I don't manifest a whole lot like that. I know. I like it. It's in my spirit. I could do it every meeting. You could do that. There's that kind of love you can tap into. But my heart, my stewardship of the gospel, the grace of my life in this hour is the ministry of truth big time. Because you can pray and somebody feel better and you say, yeah, but one touch from God, I understand. But that peace that they received, if it's not coupled with understanding and truth, life's going to steal that thing away. And then they're going to think, I need to get another experience and I need to get touched by the peace of God again. And now they're going to the altar for affirmation and they don't even know what to believe. And that's messed up, man. And all of a sudden we teach people that ministry is freedom. Truth is freedom. And there's a time to be touched. There's a time to do what we did tonight. I love it. You don't even know me back then. Todd didn't even know me back then. I used to be known for blowing up a house. And it got weird in me. It drew attention to me. And all of a sudden I thought if everybody wasn't stuck to the floor, God didn't show up. So I didn't even leave the platform, man. I had so much faith in my heart that God would do things. I would just call you out and point and you would scream and get plastered to the floor. And I thought, this is cool. Whoa, I've arrived. And all of a sudden it became showy. It became weird. And something got weird in my heart. And I got doted over. And people were like, you're so amazing. Oh, my God. Whoa, 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 whoa. And I'm like, get a grip. Come on. That was crazy, guy. I would pray for somebody over here and three people over there would fall, crash to the ground. And I'm like, dude. I remember lining people up in an aisle. Fire! Strike! Not a pin standing, man. I'd be like, you, ma'am, in the red, would you stand up? Fire! Ah! Boom!
No usher got to her. Metal, sound like metal in her head. Dum! It's crazy. And people love that stuff. It becomes entertainment. They get freaked out. They start inviting you to the church for the blow up, not the truth. And one night I walked into this church with my real nice black suit. Can you even picture that? Had my little gold tie, my little chain. I did, man. I look so smooth. My wife called me a Ken doll. I'd come out of the bedroom, she'd say, "Whoa, you're a Ken doll." I'd be like, "I'm a man of God." I went to this church, and they're like, "Whoa, we're so glad you're whoa. What's going on?" I'm like, "Yeah, praise the Lord, bless you, fire of God." A couple weeks before that, I got in a parking lot, and the Lord said, "Why do you feel this way?" I do everything. And I bawled, couldn't even drive. 2 months later, I'm in this church, wearing my best suit, feeling like all that. People was doting on me, stroking me. I was like, "Yeah, I'm anointed. Yeah, it's good. I'm here. Oh, it's going to be fun tonight. God's coming. Sounds all good. We're in worship. It's a holy moment. People were sincere. God's in the house. People are prostrate. I should have been. I'm standing there waiting for the blow up. I'm looking around. I'm eyeballing people. I'm rocking. I'm like, God, just get this thing rolling, man. This is awesome. You're in heaven." And I would have set it up. I would have been like, "I tell you what, God is in this place. And right now, God is, and He's here." And it would have all sounded great, right? I look at this lady and the Lord says, "She this and this. And because of this, she this." And it was one of them words that if you're wrong, you look stupid. Because you're either way right and a hero right now. And like, wow, that's crystal clear prophetic. Or you're wrong. There ain't no middle ground with the word I got. And I'm so pumped. I've been flowing in this thing. And I'm like, I can't wait to roll this ball. The music's right. Worship leader is barely able to play. The instrumental people are just sat their instruments down. They're on their knees. People are laying everywhere. Pastor's prostrate. And I'm standing there waiting to roll this thing. And I step up to the platform. And I tapped on that little microphone. And I was ready to ease in. Right now, the presence of God is everywhere in this house. I was going to ease in and do the pastor thing. You're going to be amazed by this. I flipped that microphone on Gary. I'm so ready to give this word. I'm going to ease him in and say, "You, ma'am." And I'm thinking the whole thing's going to blow up. It's going to turn into like I've seen 100 times. And I go, I flip the mic on and I said, and God said, "See, Dan, you couldn't even talk if I didn't let you." And I fell to the ground and cried uncontrollably. There was things happening in the body of Christ. There was manifestations. There was things. And your ministries were being weighed by the manifestations that followed. And I was starting to have a need to be on top of that, to fire God, and I come in, the house is going to blow up. You're going to be stuck to the wall or stuck somewhere. I'm not even sure, and I'm not trying to freak you out right now. At this point in an hour in my life, I'm not even sure what was actually moving in the room because my motives were wrong. I'm not even sure what I was entertaining. Because I didn't see miracles. I wasn't seeing them people stuck on the floor with no cancer. They still had cancer, but they shook and burned. In that season, I saw less healings and miracles than any time in my life. But I saw more manifestations, fire shaking and stuck to the ground. Same counseling sessions, same heartbreak, same hurts in their life, but they sure shook and couldn't move. I'm not even sure what was going on in the room because my heart was twisted. I don't talk about this. I never don't think I ever talked about it publicly in my life. I laid on the floor and cried uncontrollably. and I was broken. And I know it ain't strike three, you're out, but I thought, man, you just warned me 2 months ago, and here I am in this mess. I ain't swinging and missing again. And I stood up and I cried. So nobody knew what was going on. They're like, he's really crying. I mean, some people probably thought, he's broken in sin. He got some secret. He's sleeping around. They're probably thinking crazy stuff. I'm broken. And I stood up and I'm snotting and bawling. And I said, I need to confess something to you guys. The pride that's in my heart. And I started to cry, and people started to cry, and started to talk to them about how God's been using me, and how at 3 months I saw miracles, 4 months, at 9 months I'm preaching in churches, how I'm calling out, you have a tumor under your right arm, check, it's going, ah! And now everybody thinks I'm such a man of God, and everybody has to get to me. And I ain't teaching and training and equipping, I'm just manifesting, and now the world needs me. It's weird. I've seen so much in my life. I'm a very blessed man, but it was taking a weird turn. The manifestation's awesome. The result's awesome. But if it's at the cost of my own heart, something's wrong. So I'd look, you in the plaid shirt, sir, you were just told you have a degenerated heart and that there's no help for you and it's going to shorten your life. And the wife screams and bawls. I said, I'm sorry I can't help this, but the fire that's coming in your heart right now is putting a brand new heart inside of you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And he goes back to the doctor, and his heart's completely normal. I could tell you stories after stories of the manifestation of God like that. It's powerful, but if you don't steward it right, and you just manifest, then the whole world needs what you have in a ministry way. And there's no training, equipping. There's no imparting. You're just a Christian hero. You're a superstar. You're a special man with God's anointing. That's who we all are. And it got really weird in me, guys. And God must have really been concerned if He didn't let me talk. See, but God's not a controller. He's a gentleman. You have the wrong father in mind. He loves me. And if He's got to shut me up to get my attention, He will cease my tongue. Because I ask Him to father me, and I tell Him, kick me in the butt if you have to, but don't let me reproach you or miss your will.
Glory.
And He has saved me many times from foolish things. Mistakes. Not evil, just mistakes. Yeah. And I confessed and cried and repented, but then I did something. I was afraid to get caught in that again, so I just shut down. And for a whole year, I just taught Bible study and stuff and didn't minister or pray for nobody. I just shut down. I was afraid. And God let a whole year go by. And He slipped up to me. People say, Dan lost his anointing. Dan don't have the prophetic no more. Dan don't. No, that stuff's without repentance, man. That's in my life in a moment. It's in my life in a moment. Come on, God will move through a drunken, backslidden man to reach somebody.
Amen.
It ain't because you're something, it's because He's a lover. Ain't nothing a man has that he hasn't been given. There's no boasting, it's all from Him. I finally get that. For a long time I've gotten that now. Because of that thing I'm telling you about. I don't even know why I'm on this and it's getting so late. But this is helpful for somebody. I shut down and God's grace slipped up to me in a moment of prayer. And He said, hey, a year ago when I zipped your lips and got your attention, I told you to find a healthy place. I never told you to turn off. And I bawled and I said, but Lord, I thought, because I'm living that thing every day. I'm aware that I turned off. I'm aware there's conviction. As soon as He spoke, whee! And He said, Dan, it's okay. There's a place for my fire. There's a place for my presence. There's a place for the manifestation. It's always about me and my glory. And you're just privileged to carry me. You're privileged to... And He's talking to me about stuff. You don't need the mark of ministry. You don't need under the pressure of what the church says is the happening thing today. You don't need gold dust on everybody's head. And you don't need feathers piled up on the floor. You don't need people burning and shaking. You want cancers to leave, diabetes to go, and men to be transformed. That's the mark of ministry. The lame walk and the blind see and the gospel, the poor having the gospel preached. It's not all this stuff. And I said, yeah, whoa, okay. Yeah. And he said, Dan, step back out and let my love flow. And I said, okay. And this tongue and interpretation came in me. And God sang through me. Three paragraphs in other tongues. And then as I sang out the English from the Spirit of the Lord to myself from the Lord, an open vision filled the room and showed me the three legs of my walk. It was overwhelming. And it was his way of showing me mercy and fathering me and patting me on the hiney and saying, now get up and walk, son. I've taught you to walk. Yes. In the last 8 years, I have felt more healthy in ministry than you could possibly be. I have no need for your affirmation. I don't need anyone to stick nowhere. I care that you're changed. I care that when we pray, God moves. I pray that you hear the truth and the truth makes you free. I care that we live in uprightness and integrity. I don't need gold dust to fill the room. If it does, it does. I ain't even thinking that. I'm thinking Jesus, He's truth and He's love. And God has me healthier than I've ever been in my life. Are you following me? I don't need you to shake. I need you healed. I don't need you to shake. I need you to love. And if you shake, shake, but be healed. Do you get it? Every once in a while I have fun with stuff. I said, I see something coming, girl, and ain't nothing we can do about it. And God began to overwhelm your heart. You can't even explain it. Right now you can't put it into words. As soon as I talk about it, it makes you want to cry. Right? It's still there. I saw that. I declared it. It just came. It's just fine.
Yes.
You see stuff. You just speak it. And God says, yeah, you spoke it out. Well, good. That has nothing to do with me being anointed. It has to do with Him being a father. And we make it so much about us and how God's using us. And whoa, you're prophetic. Whoa, you really flow in that. Whoa. And we hurt each other doing that. We ought to be going, whoa, you're amazing. Whoa, you flow through us. Whoa, you're not a respecter. Whoa, you're amazing.
You get it?
But I did have fun tonight. Stand to your feet with me all over this house.
If you need prayer for any form of healing, go like this right now. Just go like this. Look around the room, church. Just go grab somebody that's going like this. Go grab somebody that's going like this. Come on, church. Go grab somebody. I'm going to dismiss you in this. I want you to love them. Ask them how you can pray. And in Jesus' name, be healed. I'm telling you, God will touch people in this house. Wave your hands right now if you need prayer. Don't stop waving if they didn't get to you. Wave till they get to you. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your great blessing. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this weekend. We love you and we believe. In Jesus' name, thank you. Wave your hands if nobody got to you. Make sure you wave your